Today's daf in the Sefer Kiddushin, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Beis. So let's give your full heart to this daf. Yesterday we were talking about the question of kibud, and we said that kibud means bringing food, bringing coffee. Coffee's pretty darn expensive. Who pays for the coffee? Now that's a very serious issue today. Iboilu, Michel me. Who's doing the paying over here for all of this machilo, mashkeu, and so on? So review it, as says, the son is mechuyev. Michel ben, even I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. This is only where he doesn't have his own money. In other words, if you need to provide coffee for him, so then you provide the coffee also, not just bring him the coffee. Rav Nosson bar Hashaya amar, no, Michel av. If he doesn't have money for his own parnosa, it's not up to the son to be mefarnesim because in the midst of kibud, there's a midst of tzedakah. That's something else. But kibud is the hanhoga. It's not the reality of his having food and drink. It's the way that he's treated. So it's like we spoke about yesterday, that it's possible to give your father $500 pheasant lunches and still go to hell for it. And on the contrary, if you speak to him nicely and explain to him why it is that he has to do this work because you're trying to make life better for him, then that would be a tremendous kavod to bring you to Chayei Olam Haba. So therefore, included in that is not to provide the actual things, because that's not the kavod. In other words, it's not even like another mitzvah where you say, okay, if I have to buy an esrog, so I pay money for the esrog. So if I have to do kibud av ha'em, so I pay money to do kibud av ha'em. No, because the provision of the food is not the mitzvah. That's the point. It's the bringing of the food. So it's a completely different vision, therefore, if you're saying Michel av. And the truth is that, of course, there would still be the kedima in terms of tzedakah. If a father doesn't have, let's say a father, I mean a parent, obviously, but if we're talking about a parent that doesn't have support, so then the child can afford the support. So, of course, Bezdin will be mechayev him in terms of the dinim of tzedakah, mipsar chalot talem, and so on and so forth. Okay, but not in terms of the mitzvah per se of kibud. So, Ora le Rabban and Rabbi Yirmiyah. So, some say it was the son of Rabbi Yirmiyah, some say it was to Rabbi Yirmiyah, they paskin la halacha, command Yomer Michel Av. And it's supposed to come out of the father's money. And this is the way that we paskin. So, Meisve, what about the Braita? The Braita said, Kabedet Avicha Vet Imecha, and Kabedet Hashem Mihonecha. Now, remember, we said that that was the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu compared his covet to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's covet. Now, to our father's covet. Now, when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's covet, what does it say? Mehonecha. Mehonecha means from your money. So then that means that the comparison, the chara, would be machai of you to spend money. So ma'ala halon bechesron kis. Just like it's going to cost money when you are being mechabed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're spending money on mitzvahs, you're spending money on a beautiful Sefer Torah, on whatever it is that you're putting your money into. So afkan bechesron kis. Now, I don't understand what you could possibly mean by this. If the father's paying for it, you say, yes, even if it costs a lot of money, yes, go to your father's bank account, take out all the money, and use it for coming. What difference does it make to you? Chesron kiss, it ain't my kiss, it's his kiss. So what difference would it make? So if that's the case, my nafkalei mine, what does the son care if he isn't paying for it? No, what do you mean? It's still going to make a difference. Listen, the son's got to take off from work in order to be mechabed his father. Okay, it's going to cost him, you know, who knows, $100 an hour. I mean, this is crazy. When he's going to say, "What? I got to pay money?" That's the mitzvah. Of course, you have to pay money. That's what it's costing you to be mechabed the mitzvah. But the provision of the chefza that you're giving the father—that's not the mitzvah. So here we're talking about bitul melacha, toshma. Suppose you've got two brothers who are very close. You have two partners. You have a father and a son. They love each other. A Rav, a Talmida, they feel so close to each other that you would think that they are like one person. So in the same way that a person who's paid his own Maaser Sheni, he has to add the Chomesh. You think so? Okay, so if the Talmud goes and pays the money for the pidyon of the Meiser Sheni, doesn't that love make him also have to pay the extra chomesh? No. Actually, they can do each other pidyon, and it's no chi of chomesh. Now, here's the point, the next piece, that challenges what we just said. U'machilin zeleza Meiser ani. Now, I don't understand. If you're going to tell me that the son is chayev to pay for the mitzvah, how can he use meiser ani? That would be stealing from the aniyim to pay for your mitzvahs. So obviously you see from here that the son is not mechuyev, right? Because then nimtza ze poreach chovo mishel aniyim, I say you're paying up your debts from money that belonged to the poor? No, this doesn't necessarily mean the part that you would be chayev. Lo tzricha la'adafa. What we're talking about over here is extra, beyond the normal needs of the father. So in other words, even if you hold according to the Shita, that says that it has to be Michel Ben, but that's talking about for his ongoing parnasa. But that, of course, you can't use Meiser Ani for, because then you're, according to that Shita, you would be paying up your debts with someone else's money. You can't do that. But suppose the father has like these extra needs, you know, I mean, you think he's going to be satisfied with just any old coffee? I mean, he only drinks Starbucks special blend, you know? So who pays for the extra? Of course, in Israel, that's not called special. But, okay. But there are places where their tastes are corrupted to such an extent that that's considered to be extra special, semi-burned coffee, you know? Okay. So who pays for the extra? The extra that you're allowed to take is, that's not the Etzem Chiyav. So Hadafa would be to be Meiser Ani. That you can use. Wait a minute. If it's talking about Hadafa, then how do you explain the Shita that was said on this Brisa? Would that be allowed for Reb Yudah to say, but I say, Tavo Meira L'mishem Achelat Aviv Meiser Ani, maybe you're allowed to, but this guy should be cursed using Meiser Ani to support his father. And if we're talking about Hadafa, so then, see, Reb Barnea is illustrating what Starbucks in Israel is worth. They don't even put it in a Starbucks cup. Okay, we understand. We I don't know what company you're working for, but it's excellent advertisement.
This is the University of Chicago Oriental Institute language exhibition, all the ancient languages.
I should know.
My favorite cup.
Shut up. Oh, my gosh. Little did I know we're talking about Barnea's neighborhood now in Chicago. Good heavens. Anyway, if we're talking about Hadafa, what nafkamina is there? I understand that he gave Meiser Ani. And you're so angry that he gave Meiser Ani, he's allowed to give Meiser Ani if it's for Hadafa. No. It's all very nice that he's allowed to. But you don't think that that's pretty cheapo? I mean, come on. It's like, it's a zila by milta. I mean, that you're going to give your father that extra cup of coffee. You're taking it out of your Meiser account. Come on, man. You don't see that there's something a little bit zila b'milta in that? It's like, it's insulting. Toshma. Sha'alu et Rabbi Elias. Ad heichan kibud ava'im. How far do you have to go with kibud ava'im? So he said, listen, you have got, if this is what gives your parent pleasure, k'dei sheyitol arniki, if your father grabs your wallet, throws it into the harbor. Now, you don't embarrass him by grabbing it out of his hand. Now, if you're telling me that you're not mechuyev to lose money, so then it's your father's cash, apparently, right? So what do you care? He wants to throw his cash. He wants to throw his cash. Okay, sure, Dad, have fun. Enjoy, you know. We know you like to light your cigars with $100 bills, you know. It ain't any of my business. But if you're going to be paying the $100 bills, then I see that that's really a big deal. Ah, now this is very important, Richie. I got to see that Richie's face. What we're talking about over here is where the father, he's old enough that the son's thinking any minute now the old guy is going to kick the bucket and I'm going to get all that money. And he's throwing it in. He's using $100 bills for his cigars. That's my $100. That's my extra special first class ticket. And he's spending it on garbage. That's what it's talking about. Your show with the other Rabbi Baravuna. There was an actual mitzvah like that, you know, where Ravuna once tore clothes, very expensive clothes, and he was Karashi Roy, and he did this once. Rabba was very angry. This was his son, right? So Rav Huna, his father, tore his clothes. He wanted to see whether, if at a time that Rabba's boiling mad about something, whether he would really go overboard and say something insulting to him, right? So he tore these clothes. He said, I want to see once and for all. We're going to give him the Kool-Aid acid test over here. Does Rabba lose his patience with his dad? So I want to see if he's going to get mad or not. Wait a minute, you can't do that. Maybe he would get mad. And then you would be over on Lifnei'iver, Lotitein Michshol. I mean, how could Rav Huna have done such a thing? So what happened over here? Mochel Eliyikri. Actually, Rav Huna specifically was Mochel in his mind, his covet. We'll see in a moment that a father can be Mochel his covet. So that way, even if Rabba would have gotten angry and said something inappropriate, he wouldn't have been over. Now, here the question is, Rabosai, this is a wonderful question. Is Lifnei'iver only when the person ends up doing an Avera? Or is Lifnei'iver putting a stumbling block that he could do an Avera? So when we're saying V'dilma Ratach, does that mean, since he obviously was afraid that he might, so then how could he even put him into the situation? That makes more sense than to say that the Gemara means, and what happens if in fact he falters and he ends up insulting his father? So then you would be over. That's not the point. It's not then I would be over. It's Enochinami. He would have been over from that moment. So this is a big question. How to learn this Gemara? There's a big machlokas, whether it means that actually he would have been over at that moment. How could he have done such a thing? Or whether it means that maybe he would have been over and ultimately. So there would be a big nafkamina, a lot of discussion. Also, Rav Meisha has even a tshuva on this. Where do we say Lifnei'iver? And the question of Lifnei'iver when it's a suffix. These are like practical issues. You know, I'm doing something where someone might be nichshel. Is that also a Lifnei'iver? That's the question of how to learn the Gemara over here. So Rav Huna was mochel yikre. But how could Rav Huna tear his clothes? I don't understand. What about Baal Tashkas? I mean, that's not a valid reason for tearing expensive clothing, is it? What do you think? He really tore the clothes? He loosened the seams. Then he tore it along the seams, and he looked like he was really mad. He was going to see whether Rav is going to get all upset about that. He wasn't really upset.
So it only seemed to be.
We should have seen it coming. Anyway, but wait a minute. Maybe the only reason that actually his son didn't get angry was because he saw that he wasn't really tearing it. He tore it on the seams. But if he would have, maybe he would have gotten angry. So it's a crummy test. No, but see, he had this timed perfectly. Rabba had blown up and he was going, he wasn't even paying attention to anything. It was all, you know, when somebody's angry, so he was like so upset about something, he wouldn't have even noticed that it wasn't on the seams. He timed it perfectly. Rav Huna was waiting for this possible test. Anyway, Masni le Rav Chezkel l'Rami Bere. Now, if you have Nisrafim that get mixed up in Niskalim, so he was teaching his son a Mishnah. There's a Mishnah in Sanhedrin. And what he said to him is, if you have people that are Chayev Miz, and they are chayev to be nisrafim, and they get mixed up in a group of people who are chayev skila, so they're beniskolim. So the dina is in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Omer, then since you always give the mitah kala, because you can't give a person a mitah chamura, and you're not sure what mitah this person is chayev in, whether he's a niskal or he's a nisra, so what you should do is they should all do skila to all of them, because according to Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon Shita is that actually Sreifa is more chomer than skila. Find this, we add this by Chokas Sanhedrin, and we'll be back there soon, Bezrat Hashem, reviewing it. But in any event, that's the Mishnah. Rav Yehuda says to him, Rav Yehuda was another son that was listening in while Rav Yecheskel was teaching his brother Rami. So he said, Abba, that's not the right way to read the Mishnah. Lo titnayei hachi, because the way you're reading it, it, when you say X gets mixed into Y, it's always the Y that is greater. In other words, we have a group of Y, let's say 100 Ys, and we have a couple of X's got mixed up in the Ys. But then there's a problem, because you're basically saying that most of the people were chayav skila. So then you said the reason that we should give them skila is because, well, you can't give them sreifa, because sreifa is chomer, even if it weren't chomer. Let's say it's exactly the same. Don't you have to go bus a rov? So if rov, the way you said it, if rov and iskolim, so then obviously we're not going to give them sreifa. So typically the rov and iskolim, you know, would be exactly the same. It would make no nafkamina, because we always go bus a rov, and therefore saying that, well, sreifa is more chomer, even if it weren't more chomer, we would still go bus of the rov. So this is a very poor way of saying the Mishnah. Elohachi etnayos, his other son is teaching Rav Yecheskel how he should say the Mishnah. So what you should have said is, haniskalim ben Nisrafim, that most of the group were Nisrafim, and that some people were chayef skila, got mixed up in the Nisrafim. And then when you're saying that even though we have over there the rov on Nisrafim, Rabbi Shimon is saying, but you can't give anybody sreifa, even though that's the rov, because you cannot give a person a misa that's more chomor. So Rav Yecheskel said to Rav Yehuda, his son, listen, it's all very nice that you're correcting the opening of the Mishnah, then you're going to have a problem in the next piece of the Mishnah, because there it's the inverse. Iyachi ema seifa. V'chachomim omrim, no, v'chachomim say you're wrong, Rabbi Shimon. Actually, they should get sreifa, because skila is more chomor. Now, if you're right, it's not because skila is more chomor, it's because ruba are nisrafim. So why did they say skila is more chomor? So any, no matter how you read this Mishnah, my dear son, you're messed up, because either the first part of it, Rabbi Shimon shouldn't have made it dependent on what's chomor, he should have gone batsarov, or the second part is messed up. And the chachomim are saying, no, you're wrong, it's actually sreifa is more roi because skila is chomor. Omar leis, Rabbi Yehuda said to his father, no, that's okay. The end of the Mishnah works out fine, because over there it's a response. So the Chachomim are responding to Rabbi Shimon. So they're saying, listen, they all are chayev sreifa because of the rov. And as far as your taina, that you can't give someone sreifa because sreifa is chamura, that's not true. In actuality, skila is chamura. But, I mean, we don't need the svar of skila chamura in order to prove our point. We're just saying that what you said is wrong. So the Mishnah makes perfectly good sense like this. Now Shmuel heard this conversation and he was very upset. He said to Rav Yehuda, remember he called Rav Yehuda Sharpi, Shinana, and for Shinantim is the same lashon. Shinana, that's not how to talk to a father. Lo teimer le'levul chachim, don't tell your father to correct him like that. That's wrong. D'tanya, harei shaya aviv over al divrei Torah. Let's say your father is doing an avera. You shouldn't tell him, Abba, avart al divrei Torah. You should say to him, Abba, kach katuv batorah. What do you mean, kach katuv batorah? You're going to talk to him sarcastically? That's even more insulting. Oh, Abba, is that what it says in the Torah to do? Oh my gosh, I mean, that's even worse than saying avart al divrei Torah. Kach katuv batorah, tzuriko mitzayir leis. You're really being mitzayirin. No. Doesn't mean saying it as a question. It means you should say a pasuk. Abba, there's a pasuk in the Torah that says this. Don't relate it to the father's actions at all. Of course, if you relate it to the father's action, it's going to be mitzayirin. So you mention a pasuk, and then the father understands himself. The implication is that he did something wrong, but you didn't say that. Elazar ben Matya Omer. And how about if my father says Ashkeni Mayim? And at the same time that he says Ashkeni Mayim, I have a mitzvah. I have to run out to a levaya or something. So then I'm telling you what I would do. I would not do the mitzvah of Kibud Av, and I would go out, Miniach Nikvod Av, and I would go and do the mitzvah that I'm chayev. Why? Same svar that we said before, that your mother and you are both chayev in the mitzvah of the Kibud of your father. Does that mean it's true over here? My father and I are both chayev in the covet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his mitzvahs. So therefore, I would do that mitzvah first, and I wouldn't do my father. There's a whole big question over here because there's a lot of issues. First of all, I mean, if he was doing the mitzvah for his father, then it's Isaac the mitzvah, potter mina mitzvah. We don't start making analyses of which mitzvah comes first to break off in the middle of a mitzvah. So in Achinami, we have to understand it, talking about that it's Omed bifnei, the father's request, but he hasn't started being Isaac in the mitzvah. But then you've got another problem, and that is there's differences between a mitzvah overet and a mitzvah she'ino overet. So the mitzvah, if you could do the mitzvah in another 10 minutes, you're going to say, well, I'm running out to daven mincha. There's 10 minutes later, there's another mincha minyan. Well, I'm running out to daven mincha. Your father wants a cup of coffee. Give him a cup of coffee and then go to mincha. So this also obviously has to be talking about a mitzvah, as Rashi says. That must be the reason that Rashi says, I have to go to Bria Meis, I have to go to Levaya. Well, I mean, you can't say, you know, let's hold up the funeral. Obviously, if you don't go now, you're not going to be able to be mekayim that mitzvah. But in Achinami, when it comes to a mitzvah that could be done later, so then the kibud av could actually come first. This is how the Rama paskins. Mil im ein zman a mitzvah overet, says the Rama, yasot bichvod aviv, v'achakach yase a mitzvah. This is from the Rabbeinu Yerucham he brings. That's the halacha lamaisa on this. Isi ben Yehuda says, even if there's a mitzvah that there's other people that could do that mitzvah and it would be mekuyam completely, im efshala mitzvah le'yasot ayadei achirim, let other people do that mitzvah, and you should go to be mekayim the mitzvah of kibud aviv, because that nobody else can do. Omer Rav Asi, halacha ki isi ben Yehuda. Now, there's a very interesting question over here, which is nogea, how it is that we've defined kavod. This is an amazing sugya, because lamaisa, this comes up all the time. Father wants a kid to go to a particular yeshiva, the kid wants to go to a different yeshiva. No, that's a small question. How about if the father doesn't like the girl that the son wants to marry, which is a big question, and that comes up very often. No, we don't. Your mother and I don't like that girl. We don't want you to marry that girl. I mean, these kind of things come up all the time. So the way that we've just defined kovod is machileu, mashkeu. There is no mitzvah in kovod to listen to your father. That's fascinating, right? So this is a psak by the Ma'arik. And what he says is that ein achinami, since this is not a getter of kavod, kavod is only where the father has a direct pleasure from what it is that you're doing. That's what we said. Achilo, lahashkeu, and so on. Achilo, mashkeu. So this has nothing to do with kavod. So why should you listen to your father? That's not part of kavod. That's how the Ma'arik paskens. When he brings in other svaras that are part of this, that since it's who you want to marry, so then he's trying to prevent you from doing a mitzvah. He wants you to marry someone that you don't like as much. It's a mitzvah, dafka, to marry a woman that you love and that you want, and that way there's more chances of success of a marriage and so on. So he brings in all these others for us also. But ultimately, he says that this is not included in coven. And this is an actual shiloh. And what's interesting is that the circumstances of the shaila of the Ma'arik, for some reason, are ignored by people, as I'll show you in a minute. Because what the Ma'arik speaks about in the tshuva is that the father says to the son, not that we don't like this girl, but basically there were rumors going on that this guy was shacking up with this girl. And he says, the father says, you're going to bring a bizoyan to our family. People are going to say that, you know, this guy's playing around with girls and he ends up marrying them. And we don't want a girl like that. We want a nice, you know, shidduch and so on. So we could say that the Anadrosh Shiva spoke the shidduch. We don't want a girl that people are talking about. So there were even elements, therefore, in which the father was tining that it's part of the dignity of the family. And nonetheless, the Ma'arik said these svaras. Because very interesting, there's a tshuva by the Chabin Rav where he had a case where there was actually, it was a bezoyan to the family. The family felt it was a bezoyan that they should marry this kind of girl. And he says, there it's first, for sure. And that's a getter that he's mechuyav in, because he's gonna suffer. That's not considered to be telling him to be over on a mitzvah. But it's very, he apparently didn't see the Marik inside, because the Marik is specifically talking about where he did say that. He said that it's a bezoyan to the family. But now the question is, Rabbi Yisai, what about the mitzvah of Yira? The mitzvah of Yira is not to be seiser devar, right? So, I mean, is there a bigger slap in the face than saying, listen, you know, I don't care about your opinion, and I'm going to go right ahead and marry the girl that I want to marry. So why exactly is that not considered to be? Why is the Marik only talking about kovet? I mean, there's certainly things that are nogea yira. So I understand if you're talking about over here. Look, the main point, the way the Chazon Ish says, the main point that the Marik is making is not the way that you understand. The point is that there are things that are part of another person's life. That's the point. And the fact is that this is an essential element of your son's life, not your life. And because of that, the father is going outside of his territory in saying his opinion about it. So in the same way that you're not chayef to give matanais, let's say your father says, oh, wow, I love that tie. You don't know, you have to take off your tie and to give it to your father. Even according to the Man Omer, holds me shall bane, right? The same way you're not chayev in a hadaf, or you're not chayev to take off your tie and give him your tie. And therefore, the father is basically saying something that he shouldn't say. And therefore, that's not included. In the same way that taking off your tie is not included in kovod, giving up your life and the things that you want in your life, I want to learn in this yeshiva, not in that yeshiva. I want to marry this girl and not that girl. Then your father should be quiet, because that's your life. And that's not part of his purview to be able to tell you how to lead your life. And that's how the Chazon Ish understands the underlying point of the Marik. This is an extremely important psak, as you can see. Whoa, this comes up mamish like all of the time. So, okay, this would be very, very much negeya. Where, how far would you go? Now, look, when it says over here the father's going to throw the wallet into the ocean, you know, and that's considered to be adhechem kibud av, so there's apparently also a getter, and it's kibud. Well, what's the kibud? Unless there's no kibud. I mean, we should have said adhechem yirata av, not insult him by grabbing the wallet out. So apparently the Gemara is saying kibud, that since he is getting pleasure out of this, he gets pleasure out of lighting his cigars with $100 bills. So that's also included in kibud, because that's ritzon adam zeu kvoda. Okay, so if he already took it, he's going to throw it. Obviously, you don't have to supply it to him, even if you would hold me, shalbet. Okay, so all of these things are very, very nogea lemaisa. Now, we said before that Rav Huna was meichel on his kovod before he put his son into a position of let's see how angry he gets. That's a nasty one, man. Okay, but he was meichel on the kovod, so that he wouldn't be over on lifnei iver. So, in other words, a father can be meichel on his kovod. Omrev Yitzchak bar Shila, Omrev Masa, Omrev Chista. Yes, ha'av shemachal al kvodo is machul, and you're not machuyev in his kovod. Ha'rav shemachal al kvodo ein kvodo machul. However, in terms of the mitzvah, bnei sevatakum vadarta bnei zaken, over there, you can't be meichel. Whereas Rav Yosef says, not true. Afilo harav shemachal al kvodo kvodo machul. Because look, milanu gono me'akadosh baruch hu atzmo. Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu our ultimate Rebbe? And it says, Hashem olech lifneihem yomam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went holding the candle, so to speak, and making sure that nobody would have to climb any kind of mountains, and vaporizing, lasering away everything on the way, and making sure that everybody could see clearly and that their clothes were clean and whatever. I mean, how do you arrive? How do you allow your Rebbe to do all of those things for you? And here HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing it for you. So apparently you can be Meichel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Meichel. Oh, my Rava, what? That's not a raya. Of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be Meichel. It's his world. So it is his Torah. So if he wants to be Meichel, the covet, it's up to him. The Meichel Eile Yikre. It belongs to him. But over here, the Rebbe's going to be Meichel on the covet. It's not his covet. It's the covet that you owe him for the Torah. So how can he be Meichel on the covet of the Torah? HaKadosh Torah Dileu? Is this is his Torah to be Meichel on? And then Rava said, what am I saying? Of course it's his Torah. That's the point. Woo! In Torah di Levi, that Torah is his. Because even though it says in the Pasuk that he should be, B'torat Hashem, he should be Isaac in Torah Hashem, that's all of his chefetz, is B'torat Hashem chefetzo. But when it talks about working in the Torah, it says B'torat Toyege Yom HaValayla, in his own Torah. So you see that once he's working on that Torah, it's his. And therefore, if he wants to be Merchel his covet, you can be Meichel the Kavan. What, is that really true? I mean, this is Rava who says this for her. And I can tell you what happened. I'll tell you, I was at the wedding, you know. And Rava made a wedding for his son. And he was going around, and he was giving out schnapps to everybody. Oh, it was very sweet, you know. And so he gives a cup to Rav Papa, to Rav Huna Bereda, Rav Yoshua. And when he came to give them, with a platter of of whiskey or wine, I mean, they were embarrassed. They stood up for his covet. And they come when we come in. Then he comes to Rav Mori and to Rav Pinchas Breder of Chista. And they sit there. Yeah, they're sitting back in their couch, you know, and they take it. Thank you very much. L'chaim, l'chaim. And he was very upset. He said, oh, I see. In other words, Rav Mori and Rav Pinchas, they are big Rabbanan, therefore they don't have to give me covet. But the Rav Papa and Rav Huna, they stood up. I guess that's because they're not Rabbanan, you know? And you think that you're not Bechuyev because you're so hatsi-tatsi. He was obviously quite upset. So if he himself holds that if you're Meichel ala covet, that you can be Meichel, so why is he upset? He's obviously Meichel if he's bringing around the schnapps. So you see that even if you're Meichel, there still is a Chiev. And I'll tell you another mice. Mice of Rav Papa. Rav Papa, and I was at this wedding also. Rav Papa, he made a wedding for Abamar, his son. And he was going around giving out the drinks. And he gives a cup to Rav Yitzchak, Breder of Yehuda, and he didn't stand up for him. And Rav Papa was very upset. Yes. Not because they're mechuyev in kovod, but they're mechuyev in hidur. So there, you have to at least show that he's important. You just sit back there, yeah, thank you, l'chaim. So okay, so make like a motion of standing up, you know. Don't stand up all the way, but at least to be mahadir and to show him that his presence is very important to you. So hidur mevadle, they should have, well, that they should have done. And that they were right, even though they were Meichel. You do a little bit of a, like we do for, you know, Birkat HaMazon. Get up a little bit from your seat. Not to stand all the way up. And they didn't even do that. Om Rav Hashi. Afilu l'mandi amar. Rav shemachal al kvodo machul. Kvodo machul, which is how we paskin. But a nosi shemachal al kvodo ain't kvodo machul. The nosi who's mamish, the Rosh HaSanhedrin, he can't be Meichel. Meisvei. Here is a brisa where Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua, and Rabbi Tzadok were all at a wedding. Rabbi Gamliel was the nasi, and he had made a wedding and for his son, and they were all there at that wedding, and Rabbi Gamliel was going around giving out the drinks. Whoa. So he gives a drink to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer refused the drink. He gives it to Rabbi Yoshua, and Rabbi Yoshua accepts it from him. And Rabbi Eliezer yells at Rabbi Yoshua, Maza Yoshua, what the heck? Well, we're sitting here, and Rabbi Gamliel, the Gadol Hador, Baribi, he's going to be Eimed Umashka Aleinu, and you accept it? You're not embarrassed? How can you do that? Omar Lay said, Rabbi Yoshua, I don't know. I only know what it says in the Holy Book. And it was good enough for Abraham. It was good enough for Abraham. Well, it's good enough for me. I know, but Sinu, Gadol mimenu shishimesh. Avram was a Gadol Ador. I think you would agree that he was a Gadol Ador. I mean, Rabbi Gamliel is a Gadol Ador, but probably Rabbi Gamliel would have been Mechabit Avram Avinu as the Gadol Ador, right? And we find that he was Omed Aleihem. What do you think Omed Aleihem means? He was sitting out there. He was bringing the tongue. He was bringing the, I mean, I don't understand. So why can't Rabbi Gamliel bring us a little bit of wine? Now, maybe Yotaina, Shema Tomru. Yes, but Avram Avinu knew that his visitors were really Malachi Ashares. So that's why he did that. So Malachi Ashares, well, that's not true. He thought they were a bunch of Arabs because he told them, wash your feet, because the Arabs are Mishtachra, Avakra Graham, as Rashi says, it's from the Gemara. And Lonid Mulal al Arviim. And nonetheless, he was Mashka them. So we can't accept if Rabbi Gamliel Baribi is Omidu Mashka Aleinu. Omalam Rabbi Tzadok. Rabbi Tzadok is listening into this whole discussion. He says, what's with you guys? Everything is in terms of people. You know, that's what happens. Instead of discussing reality, existence, it's all about what does this Gadol do? What does this Gadol do? I don't care what the Gadol is, you know? I don't care if the Gadol is Avram Avinu. I don't care if the Gadol is Rabbi Gamliel. I'd like to talk about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. I think that's a little bit more important than what the Gadol does, okay? So let me tell you about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ad matay atem menichim kvodo shel makom v'atem oskim b'chod habriyos? Always bringing me rayas from the Gedalim and the Rebbes and so on. How about if we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the time. Mashi v'ruchot, mori datalagatas, beautiful, winds, rains, everything grows. He makes things sprout out of the ground. Orech shulchan, if they call echad ve'echad. Everybody sits down to a meal. And they're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But, I mean, who's doing the serving over here, you know? So that's okay. We can accept from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands. That's fine. And but it comes along to Gadol. Oh, no. Gadol's giving you a cup of wine. As for Shalom, I'm going to take it from him. You don't think there's something weird about that psychology, says Reb Tzadok? So, Anu Loye Rabbi Gamliel Barebi, Omeidu Mashke Aleinu. Anyway, getting to Yitzi, Smitty. We're Ariel. I'm sure Zoom has put the hand over Ariel's. It's probably Ariel.
Rabbi, I just wanted to ask, in the previous case, and it's related to this case, I mean, the Rav's Moichel al Kvoido, why can't you just say, well, he wasn't Moichel? He's not Chayav to be Moichel. He's covered in the previous.
No, the action itself shows his Mechila. If he was being Makban on the Kvod HaRav, he doesn't go around with a tray serving drinks. Obviously, he feels that for the wedding, that this is, he wants to be there and he wants to be part of it. He wants to be part of the fun. And he's not acting like the fancy rabbi. If he was acting like a fancy rabbi, can you imagine he's going to go serve the drinks? When a person does that, he's basically saying, you know, here, it's fine. We're all in this together. That's the point.
In the previous case, so the issue was with their reaction that they didn't stand up. And in the second case, it's about, well, should we even take the glass? Should we receive the glass?
Right. They were more makbid on the covet of the Nasi. No, he was saying, you know, it's not even right to accept it. It's all very nice that he wants to be Meichel, but we can't accept the Mechila of a Nasi. Well, there was a question was that you're required to do Hidur anyway. El Roi Shali.
לא הבנתי איך אפשר להשוות בין כבוד המקום לכבוד של רבן גמליאל או חכם כזה או אחר, כיוון שהכבוד של הקדוש ברוך הוא שהוא פורס שולחן לפני כל אחד, זה משהו שאנחנו לא יכולים להתנגד לו, זאת אומרת, זה משהו שהוא, גם אם לא היינו רוצים זה היה מגיע. השם מוריד גשם.
אבל רואים שלמרות שיש חיובים על כבוד והכל, הקדוש ברוך הוא עושה את זה, והוא מוכל על זה. זה האכפתיות לכל אחד ואחד, זה מעין מחילת כבודו. ואז אנחנו מבינים שזה הרצון שלו. וכאן זה אותו דבר. למה רב גמליאל לא יכול לעשות בדיוק אותו הדבר? אז אנחנו נקבל גם מידו. מי שלה? Moshe Binyamin.
Rabbi, I'm assuming there's a direct association. It seems beautiful that the Gemara and Megillah is talking about the same issue.
Moshe, sweetheart, we're holding in, trying to catch up on extra dapim here, Erev Rosh Hashanah, okay. And you're doing your classic Mowili Kol HaTorah Kula thing. I can't believe it.
We have the same sugi in Megillah about death. and kavod, and it seems mamish parallel.
Which sugya?
About whether or not the Talmud Chacham, that we, in the end, if he's mocho, that he doesn't want a big thing, doesn't want hespedim and everything, that if he's Talmud Chacham, then he's not allowed to. Because of the Torah.
Okay, but yeah, that revolves around another issue.
Oh, I thought it was the Torah. I thought it was the Torah.
It is, but
what Rava said that it's...
Yeah. No, 100%. Yeah, but over there, there's also issues. Who is the one that's being mitchabed with the hespet?
Rabbi, what does Ma'ale Nisim?
Makes the winds blow.
Winds blow.
Ela'it mar... Okay, so therefore, you see clearly that even Reb Gamliel was the Nasi, can be Meichel, and Rav Ashi said a Nasi cannot be Meichel. We must have misquoted him. What he must have said was like this. He wasn't talking about a filo d'mandi omar rav. He was saying a nasi, according to that mandi omar. Yes, he can be Michael. But a melech, even though for many dinim, melech and nasi are the same, but there's a specific halacha for melech that if he's Michael al-kvodo, in kvodo machol. Why? Because it says som tasim alech hamelech, a double lashon. You have to make absolutely certain. It's not his business. It's your business. You have to put that king over you with a sense of awe. What does it mean? Alecha. What goes on your head? How do you put a melech on your head? Yes. Awe is on you, basically. Shete emato alecha. There should be a sense of awe, which means that you cannot be melechol on that covet. And Lamaisa, the mocker of this din of covet Talmidei Chachamim, is not only about Talmidei Chachamim, or at least seems to be not only about Talmidei Chachamim. It says, Mipnei Seiva Takum. First it says, you should stand up in front of an old man. V'hadarta Pnei Zakein. V'yoreitam Elohecha Ani Adonai. So now the question is, are these two different things? Is the Seiva the Kima the issue, and the Zakein is just a synonym for the seva, and it's coming to tell me a different aspect, which is hidur, or these two different things, is very unclear. It turns out that this is a big machloikas, and it's very, very nogea halacha lemais. Tana rabban, mipnei seva takum. You might think this means yochol afilu mipnei zaken ashmoi. So now what exactly is ashmoi? Rashi says an ashmoi, it comes from the word ashamed. So you might think that we're talking about this iniquitous old bum. So you're supposed to stand in front of this slob, you know, just because he's old. And Tosis doesn't learn that way. He says that absolutely can't mean ashmai. It mean in that sense, it must mean mishumam, lashon of shomema, not a lashon of ashamed. So somebody who's like just a boor, an amoritz. I mean, he's a typical old guy walking around, you know, he has no idea what he's talking about. And so you might think that this is, you know, what you're supposed to stand up for Biden, you know, I mean, that's so that kind of thing where someone is just like, he doesn't know what he's doing. So maybe that's what it means to stand up. Talmud Lomar, I shouldn't really say that because there's a shita that holds, actually, Rav Avadia Yosef Paskins, this shita. It's amazing. I don't know if we mentioned it before, but that the din of melech, that you're mechuyev to run to see a melech, you make a bracha on a melech. So he Paskins like those shitas that say that the definitive thing about the melech is whether he can pardon someone who's chayev misa. So since a president actually has the power to pardon, so because of that, Rav Avadia Yosef Tainis is that you would be yotzei the mitzvah in terms of and the chiyuv to be mechabed a president on that level. So to go
and make the bracha?
Freedom, to make the bracha.
We discussed it. Yeah. I mean, we discussed this last time we had.
Oh, we did. Okay.
Clinton.
Okay. You mean the last time a president?
Okay. With Clinton.
Zaken Ashmai. Okay. Fine. All right. So again, okay. So Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, have patience about the mention of it. The Gemara is going to be dealing with all of this. So Bipnei Sevata Kom Yochel Afilu Bipnei Zaken Ashmai. So again, either that means just Mishumam, it doesn't know anything. Talmud Lomar, therefore, it says in the same pasuk, to make it very clear, Zakein. We know that a Zakein is a reference to somebody who is a leader and he's a Chacham, Shenemar, as Fali Shivim Ish Miziknei Yisrael. Obviously, the whole idea over there, Asher Ata Yudea, that there's Ziknei Ha'am, and I mean, there we're talking about the people on the top. The deepest chachomim, so can't possibly mean on Hashmai. So that means that apparently it's coming to define the seva. And we're going to see exactly that means the same thing or what. Rabbi Yosi Aglili says, "Ein zakein elamisha kana chokma." Don't you see the word itself? What does zakein mean? Ze kana means what was he kana? There's only one thing in life that's worth getting. Im zekana akokana. If you don't have chokma, you don't have anything. So therefore, it's by definition a reference to this is a guy who's got it. What has he got? He has chokma. Shenemar Hashem kononani reshit darko. So that means kone, the greatest kinyan. As we had this in the Rabbeinu Bachi with the whole description and Hashem kononani reshit darko. That is chokma, is the beginning of everything. So you might think, continues now, the limud in the Brisa, you might think you should stand up for this Zakein, even if he's far away. Talmud Lomar, that's why it says, as if it's two different dinim, takum v'hadart. Now that would mean that by standing up in front of him, you are adding prestige to him. Now, if you happen to see him, you know, he's like 50 yards away, and you're standing up because you see him. Nobody knows that you're standing up for him. Therefore, it should be very clear that in standing up, you add to his prestige. So as he comes to your Arba Amos, then you stand up and everybody sees, whoa, that's a standing up that brings honor. Lo amarti kima, ela b'makom sheyesh hidur. So what exactly is this hidur? Yocho yadrenu b'momon. So you might think hadar. Like we say, hidur mitzvah means put out more money for the mitzvah, make it nice. Maybe that's what it means over here. No. Takum v'hadart. The kima, there's no money in kima. Hidur is also means you should honor him, but honoring him doesn't mean showering him with money. Kidur is she'en bo chisaron kis. Now, you might think that you should stand up for him if you're in the bathroom or if you're in the bath. Talmud Lomar takum v'hadarta. It's not a mitzvah in standing up, per se. It's a mitzvah in standing up that shows honor. It's not particularly honorable to wave your genitals in his face. And therefore, that is not what the Torah is referring to. So don't be an idiot. So Lomar tikima ela b'makom sheyesh hidur. Now, you might think that you could close your eyes and pretend you didn't see him. I was going to ask, what? Well, we're talking about Rishayim over here? Okay, but we'll ask this in a moment. So you might think you could close your eyes and pretend you never saw it. So Yochel Yatsi Meinav Kamisha Lora, Ohu, Talmud Lomar, Takum, V'yoreta Mi'alokecha. This Rashi explained so many times. Every time it says Yoreta Mi'alokecha, if it's a Dover HaMasur Lelev, nobody else is going to know. But God knows. So there it says Yoreta Mi'alokecha. Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer, nonetheless, minayin lezaken shelo yatriya. Where do we see in this pasuk that even though you're supposed to be standing up for the zaken should be careful to try to go around in a way that doesn't cause people to have to stand up, and he should go around through the back door. Talmud Lomar zaken v'yareta. The zaken himself has to be yarei Elokim. But you get a thrill out of people standing up for you. Should be embarrassed. So make sure, even though it's for them it's a mitzvah, for you it's a mitzvah not to be matriach them. You also have to have yiras shamayim. Isi ben Yehuda Imer, when it says mipnei seiva takum, it's talking about age. It's talking about white hair, seiva. What in the world? Why are you saying this is zikna? I don't understand. There's obviously two different issues, aren't there? So if it says mipnei seiva takum, that means any seva, afilu kol seva, b'mashma. And I disagree with the Tanakama, b'chlal. It says over here, that would include, l'chora, even a zakein ashmai. Is he a zakein? Then you have to stand up for him. Okay? Filo kol tseva b'mashma. Okay, this is the brisa. Now we need to go through it and see precisely what each one of the shitas in this brisa is saying halacha lemaisa. So, first of all, the word zaken, the Tanakama and Rabbi Yosef Halevi both agree that the word zaken means someone who's a chacham, right? So if it means someone who's a chacham, then what are they arguing about? Rabbi Yosef Halevi is saying the word itself means zekana. Okay, fine. I mean, but what's he doing? He's arguing. I mean, they're both agreeing, right? A zaken is a chacham. No, big difference. Because if you're learning like the Tanakama, so then the Tanakama is learning from the comparison of Seva and Zaken, right? But that would mean that according to the Tanakama, the Chacham has to be a Zaken. So let's say you have a Talmud Chacham, he's a young rabbi. He comes in here, he's in his 20s. What, you have to stand up for him just because, I mean, you're three times his age. So because he's a Chacham, you should stand up for him. So according to the Tanakama, no, you don't have to stand up for him. Because both Seva and Zikna are interrelated. But according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, then it's two completely different things. Because the word Zaken does not need the word of the Seva to explain what we're talking about. And it's not an explanation of Seva. It's two different things. So we play Seva Takum and Vadarta Pnei Zaken. The Hadarta Pnei Zaken is a reference to Zekana Chokma, without any reference to age, which would mean that you are Mukhliyev even if it's a Yonik, even if he's a child. Which is how we pass it. So the Tanakama Savar, Yonik V'chochim Lo, Rabbi Yosef Aglili Savar, Afilo Yonik V'chochim. So he holds, as long as it's Zekana, then you're Chayev. What's the basis of Rabbi Yosef Aglili? Because look, the Tanakama can't be right that Seva and Zikna are both basically the same, explaining each other. Because if that's true, then why didn't the Torah put the two together? What are we separating this into different issues? Not different issues. There's one thing, which is a Seva / Zaken, right? So he's older and he's also wise. So then there's both this Tikuma and the Hidur. Maishna de Palgino Rachmana. So why did the Torah make it into two separate clauses? Obviously, because it wants us to focus on those separate clauses. Remember the high love high, the high love high. A zaken is not a seva, and a seva is not a zaken. A seva is a chiev for old age, and a zaken is a chiev for zekona chokma. It's completely different. Shma mina filo yonik v'chokin. That's why I am arguing halacha lemaisa. Whereas the Tanakama says, you're right. But there's a reason why the Torah wanted to write it as those two clauses. You know why? Because we wanted the word zaken to be put next to the closing words of v'yoreta me'elokecha ni Hashem in order to tell you this new din, that the zaken himself should be careful not to cause people to have to stand up for him if he has an alternative, and he should try to go in before or go in a different way. And why does the Tanakama disagree with Rabbi Yosef Aglili? Because the Tanakama says, listen, if Rabbi Yosef Aglili is right, that these are two different halachas, so then why wouldn't it have said, Mipnei Seva Takum Vahadarta and Takum Vahadarta Pnei Zaken? Why split up the Kima and the Hida? Since it doesn't write it, it's telling you, look, obviously you don't think Kima and Hidur are two completely different ways of responding, do you? So therefore, you understand that I'm combining two concepts into one, Seva, Zaken, Kima, Hidur, which is what the Chachomim say. And the only reason I'm splitting up the pasuk like this is to be able to put the Zaken next to the words about the Yoreta. So that's why we hold that our approach is correct. Okay, now you say, Yochel Yahadrenu B'momon, Tamad Lomar Takum V'Hadarta. You said, you might think that you're supposed to actually be Mahadar him with money. Therefore, comes along the pasuk to say, no, it's the same as the Kima.